In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
From today's Gospel, Luke chapter 15, verse 10. There is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Sin. One of the least romantic aspects of being a priest is that you have to deal with sin. Firstly, your own sin. Scripture says that it's an awful thing to put yourself in the hands of the living God. For a priest, it means acknowledgement of your unworthiness, knowing that you'll be judged by a higher standard, not only by God, but by your parishioners. There is an old saying, to stand before the people for God and to stand before God for the people, that describes the role of the priest. To stand before the people for God and to stand before God for the people. But who would dare to stand in the place of the only mediator and advocate, Jesus Christ? And it is not only his unworthiness and sins that the priest must deal with, he also has to deal with the sins of others. In the confessional, he must give advice and counsel as well as absolution. And sometimes the priest is called to deal with sinful situations within the parish, perhaps even confront people with their wrongdoings. The spiritual health of a parish and its people demands this, but is never something a priest enjoys nor wants to do. St. Gregory the Great summed up the dilemma of a priest and sin when he spoke about the prophet Ezekiel being appointed a watchman. In fact, it is much like the shepherd that seeks the sheep. A watchman, St. Gregory says, takes up his position on the heights so that he can see from a distance whatever approaches. He goes on to say about himself, when I speak, it is myself that I am reproaching, since taking on my shoulders the burden of pastoral care, I've been unable to keep steadily recollected because my mind is distracted by many responsibilities. How can I do justice to the sacred ministry of the word? Exclaims Gregory. He goes on to bewail his manifold sins and weaknesses and concludes, yet the creator and redeemer of mankind can give me, unworthy though I be, the grace to see life whole and power to speak effectively of it. It is for love of him that I do not spare myself in preaching him. These words were spoken and written over 1400 years ago, but they could have been written by me or any priest yesterday. That is why my text today, Luke 15:10, is so important. All of us are sinners, but there is joy in heaven when we repent. As St. Paul said in his first epistle to Timothy, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Jesus came for that very purpose, because there are two things proper to God: the honour which we must pay him in confessing our sins, and the power of forgiveness which he pours abundantly over us. These words, Luke 15:10, that Jesus said about the angels rejoicing over one sinner who repents, are quite profound. This verse is a fundamental link between the two parables we have heard this morning of the lost sheep and the lost coin, probably two of the best known parables, and what follows, which we do not hear. But what follows from Luke 15:10 is probably the most popular parable of all, the parable of the prodigal son. That parable, so well known, concludes with the father welcoming back his son with joy and tears, and the banquet which follows is surely an image of the joy before the angels of God when one sinner repents. So you see, in Luke chapter 15, looking at the whole of this chapter, Jesus begins with these two parables this morning, telling us that God will search us out and wants to bring back the lost, and concludes with the marvellous story of God's overwhelming love and forgiveness as shown to the prodigal son. And the link between these two sections is this note of joy in heaven. But perhaps we aren't great sinners. Most of us are just ordinary Christians trying to do our best. In fact, today you rarely hear the word sin mentioned in church at all. But if we're not great sinners, we are like sheep. Most sheep don't wander away on purpose. They just keep their heads down, munching on the grass. Their concern is only for the present moment, for what lies immediately in front of them. And when they look up, lo, the rest of the flock has vanished. That's how it is with many people. We don't mean to stray from God. We just get tied up in our own needs and what confronts us, our finances, our families, our health, our time and our priorities. It all gets away from us, doesn't it? And we get away from God in the process. C.S. Lewis, the great Anglican theologian, said, "It doesn't take a big sin to take us out of orbit around God. Just a little distraction will do." Jesus is the good shepherd. We are like lost sheep, and he wants to bring us back. He came from heaven and gave his life on the cross to make it possible. But we have to go with him. We have to follow the shepherd and not be distracted. And he waits today, as he always does, for us on the altar in the most holy sacrament of Holy Communion. And after we have met him at the altar, we will say words that should be our continual response day by day. So to assist us with thy grace, that we may continue in that holy fellowship and all such good works as thou hast prepared for us to walk in. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.